Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship at St. Mark's this morning. This morning, James is going to introduce to you someone whom you will hate, someone whom you hope you will never have to talk to again, someone you are going to tell to take a hike. But then there's also going to be part of you who is going to love her and embrace her and learn from her. And that's a great way to continue through our journey through the Pentecost season where we continue to grow in our faith. And this particular individual is someone who is going to be there for you because we go through many trials, James is going to tell us. And when we embrace this particular person, God promises to grow our faith, strengthen our faith, help us to have a grip on life, and more so, help us to have a grip on heaven. So I look forward to introducing her to you this morning. Also look forward to worshiping with you. We will use the service that's printed for you in the worship booklet for this morning. Our opening hymn is hymn 735. Let us worship the Lord. Please turn to page 3 in the worship booklet, and please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us, that we may live for you.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you rule over all things in wisdom and kindness. Take away everything that may be harmful and give us whatever is good. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson is recorded in Joshua chapter 5. God had been leading his people out of Egypt, and he continued to lead them. They did impossible things because the Lord was with them. What God did for them caused their faith in him to grow. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?"
"Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and all the people will go up, every man straight in." When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, the people gave a loud shout. The wall collapsed, so every man charged straight in, and they took the city. This is the word of the Lord. We join together today to sing the Psalm of the Day, Psalm 100, on page 7 in the worship booklet. The second lesson is recorded in James chapter 2. This lesson will be the basis for my sermon today. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away, even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. This is the word of the Lord. We join together to sing the verse of the day on page 8. This morning, the verse is from Romans chapter 10. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 7. Here we have an example of faith. An example that only the Holy Spirit could create, an example that Jesus lifts up and Jesus himself is amazed by and praises. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, 'Go,' and he goes. And that one, 'Come,' and he comes. I say to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. We join together to sing the hymn of the day, hymn 190. Thank you. May the peace of the Lord Jesus be poured out on you generously through the good gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. My message to you, as I told you earlier, is based on the second lesson from James. I just wanted to highlight the last verse for you, verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. This is the word of the Lord. It's a fine line, isn't it, between your new best friend and your new worst enemy? Hard to distinguish sometimes. Maybe there's a new hire at work. Supposed to be your coworker, might be your competitor. And she pops into your office one day and she says, "Hey, guess what? I'm your new best friend." And you're thinking, why? Are you my new best friend because you're going to help me and you're going to make my job better? Or am I supposed to make you my new best friend because you're going to take my job and you're going to make my job harder? Or maybe it's on the global scene, China. China comes on the scene and tells everybody, "Hey, I can be your new best friend, or I can be your new worst enemy." And then the nations of the world stop to think about this, and well, if we have to think the way that China thinks, and do the things that China does, and play by the rules that China makes, I don't think we need a new best friend, because we all probably have a new worst enemy right now. I told you that James is going to introduce you to somebody today. And there is going to be part of you that is going to hate her. There's going to be part of you that just wants her to shut up. There's going to be part of you that wants her to take a hike, and she's going to be your new worst enemy. I guarantee it. I also guarantee you there's going to be a part of you that loves her, that embraces her, that wants to learn more about her, that wants to learn from her. I guarantee you there's going to be a part of you that's going to make her your new best friend. James wants to introduce you to perseverance today. And so who is she and where does she come from? I think sometimes we get perseverance and patience a little mixed up, because there is perseverance and then there is patience. There's even waiting something out. There's grinning and bearing it. But none of those are really perseverance, because patience, waiting for a bus, takes patience. And you do that like this. That's patience. It's a virtue, but it's not that hard. Sometimes you need to wait things out, like if you are behind a delivery truck in traffic. And maybe that gets a little more stressful, but you just wait it out. Or maybe you're having a picnic tomorrow, you go up into the hills, and it rains. It's not going to rain for a long time, so you grin and you bear it. Grinning and bearing it, you choke down your peas. You put on a good front. Inside, there's a little bit of turmoil, but grin and bear it. It'll be done soon. That's not really what perseverance is. Perseverance involves more expending energy, working hard at something, working hard against something, because you know there's a goal in end, and you're working for that, you're striving for that. I lifted this definition out of a dictionary. It takes active and energetic resistance to hostile power, though with no assertion of the success of the resistance. And that's a clarification that we need to make too. Because the perseverance that James is talking about, it's not, well, I don't know what's going to happen. James says, you know exactly what's going to happen. You just don't always get to see it in this life. And the best part, you have to wait for until it happens. James wrote, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. But if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." So James clears things up a little bit. What are we looking for? What are we hoping for? Well, obviously, we're hoping for heaven. And along the way, we are hoping for wisdom. Wisdom that enables you and me to see things differently from everybody else, to see the end goal that is in mind, to know what we are struggling for, why we are struggling, why it's worth it to stick with perseverance. Because God promises wisdom through perseverance, wisdom to get through this life, and the wisdom to hold on to heaven. Okay, but what did James just say? In order to get there, it's going to take trials. And he also says, I want you to be glad when you go through trials. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Perseverance tells you that you should be glad, that you should consider it pure joy when you go through difficult times. I told you you would have an issue with perseverance. And then if you get a little worked up, because maybe it's not pure joy when you are going through your trials, and God is the one who says, I love you, but then he allows this, I mean, who's the double-minded one there? Is it God loves you, or you're going to experience trials? And when you take issue with that, you're the double-minded one, you're the unstable one. I told you you would hate her. And then when you decide, okay, so I'm going to find a little bit of comfort in life because I'm not finding it there. I don't enjoy suffering. I don't enjoy trials. I don't enjoy perseverance telling me I'm like a little dinghy on the sea being blown this way and blown that way because I have a hard time with suffering. Perseverance says the brother in humble circumstances ought to take place in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade even while he goes about his business. And isn't that perfect? You can't even find comfort in your money. You can't even find comfort in this life because that makes you double-minded. That makes you prideful. That makes you haughty. That means that you are not trusting in, you are not relying in God. And perseverance can't and won't work with that. And who exactly is she to talk to you like that? To tell you to be glad in suffering? To tell you to stop being double-minded and unstable? To tell you to stop finding joy in this world and comfort in this world that you should be finding from God? You kind of want her to shut up, don't you? There's a part of us that wants to tell her, take a hike. We're done with you. And you know how you get her to shut up? All you do is you turn your back on Jesus. And then she's gone. And you don't have to listen to her anymore. And then she says, oh, but then there's going to be this big hole in your heart. There's going to be this big hole in your relationship with God. And you're going to start sinning. And it doesn't really matter because you're going to pluck something out of the world. You'll take some of that creature comfort and you'll put it right in that hole. Or maybe you'll go find some sin. We can do that. We'll go find some sin and we'll stick it in what God says we are lacking. And then we won't need anything anymore, we won't be lacking anything anymore, and we won't have to find joy in suffering and in trials, because we can find joy in ourselves, and in what we want, and in what we do, and in what we go get, and in what we can make for ourselves. And then we can go print ourselves some t-shirts, and the t-shirt can say, almost there with God. It can say, 99% in love with Jesus. It can say, 2/3 a child of God, because 2 out of 3 ain't bad, and nobody's perfect anyway. And we will have absolutely everything that we need, and perseverance will be out of our lives, out of our hearts, out of our ears, and we can go on and get on with life. And be about 2 feet away from Jesus the whole time. And when we die, we will have the hope that we will be 2 feet from the entryway into heaven. We will be 2 feet away from God's eternal love, 2 feet away from his eternal blessings, 2 feet away from his promise to love us and forgive us now, and everything will be just fine. because we will have done away with perseverance forever. But do you really think that telling God no and telling her to shut up and finding ways to quiet that voice and finding ways to fill that gap and finding ways to be mature and complete without Jesus is somehow not included in this little list that St. Paul wrote up in Galatians 5? The acts of the flesh, that's that part of you that hates perseverance. That's that part of you that wants nothing to do with her. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, you can stick that right in your life and you'll be happy. Impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, all that is going to make you complete. And none of that says you have to be happy with anything bad in your life. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. That's how you get her to shut up. The only problem is that drives you away from Jesus. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will be this close. You will be this close from Jesus your whole life. This close from his love and his forgiveness your whole life, and this far from heaven for eternity. That part in you and that part in me that hates perseverance and wants her to shut up is so powerful. But the new part in us that God has made, that the Holy Spirit promises is in there, is much more powerful. And it's a powerful gift from God. James wrote, if any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you is having a hard time with this, if any of you has a little issue with perseverance today, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But didn't James just warn us? Didn't James just say that if we do these things, and then didn't Paul say if we think this way that we really have no part with God? Why in the world would God ever give generously to someone who says, I don't want to suffer through trials? Who says, God, you're the double-minded one. Who says, God, your promises are unstable. Who says, God, I can fill this hole better than you can. Why would God want anything to do with that? Because he loves you. And God gives to everyone without finding fault. And it's not because he says, I'll give you a pass. It's not because he says, ah, don't worry about it, I'll look the other way. It's because instead of judging you and judging me on our reactions to perseverance and on our reactions to him, he judges us on the life that our Savior Jesus lived for us, who suffered intensely with great joy for you and for me, who lived a perfect life, and he never let the world bat him around like the wind and the waves. He constantly loved God. He constantly persevered perfectly. And that's the life that God is going to judge you on someday. And that's the life that he is going to judge me on someday. And then when it comes time to looking for payment, for penalty, because he's not just going to look the other way, he's going to look to the death that Jesus died for you and the death that Jesus died for me. And then he's going to say, you are my child. You do love me with your whole heart, because you are perfectly loved and you are fully and freely forgiven. And then he is going to give you impartially everything that you need. Paul said in Romans 5, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it takes a lot of wisdom to grab on to just that one promise, doesn't it? You know, how can that be? Well, because God gives to you impartially, without judging. Because that's just what he does. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know, and not everybody knows this, not everybody can grab onto this, not everybody believes this, but you do, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. That's how God works in our hearts, and that's why we can consider it joy, not that we're going to be happy, but that we can be glad that when we suffer, we know it's because sometimes we're children of God, and that's why we're suffering. Sometimes God just wants us to work on our perseverance so that he can give us greater wisdom to trust in his promises and bring us closer to him. So as a child of God, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. It will be given to you through perseverance. And that's what makes perseverance your new best friend, is that through perseverance, God works your faith. Through perseverance, God gives you wisdom. through perseverance, you get things that nobody else gets. You know your relationship with Jesus and why these things are happening. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. She's your new best friend, and she gives you new t-shirts, doesn't she? It's not kind of sort of in love with Jesus. Through perseverance, she gives you the wisdom to say, I love Jesus 100%. My whole heart, my whole life belongs to him. I am not two-thirds a child of God. I am completely a child of God, a member of his family. Perseverance is your new best friend who gives you wisdom to understand life. Why am I going through this? Well, because God loves you and he wants to share wisdom with you. And she also gives you the wisdom to hold on to heaven. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, James wrote, because when he has stood the test, and you will stand the test through Jesus, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. I told you there's going to be a part of you that wasn't going to be such a big fan of perseverance. And there's a part of me that is not a big fan of perseverance either. Which is why God's miracle that we love perseverance, that we embrace her, and that we learn from her, we want to be with her, is such a miracle in our hearts and in our lives today. So, will you please pray for me? And I will pray for you that perseverance will constantly, daily slam down and crush that part of us that doesn't want anything to do with her. And pray that God will build up in us that new person that loves Jesus and that loves perseverance and can't get enough wisdom so that we can not only just get through life, but that we can actually excel in life. And so that one day you and I can stand before Jesus and he will place on our heads the crown of life, the crown of victory that Jesus has won for us. May God bless you as you embrace perseverance, as you embrace wisdom. Amen. Please stand. We take a moment to share with one another and with the world the wisdom that only comes from the Holy Spirit. We do so by confessing our faith together this morning with the words of the Nicene Creed. They are on page 10 in the worship booklet. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated as we gather our offerings. Thank you.
In our prayers this morning, we have been asked to remember our sister Norma Berg, who is hospitalized with a sodium deficiency, and she wanted you to know that she is getting better, so we will ask God to be with her. Also been asked to remember Ryan Hopping, who will have a surgery near the end of this coming week, and ask that God will bless his recovery. We also pray for our graduates. They graduate from St. Mark's on Wednesday, and they graduate from various other schools and high schools near the end of May and beginning of June. We'll ask that God would bless them. We also ask that God would be with those who serve us and protect us in the various armed forces and law enforcement and people who take care of us. As we observe Memorial Day, we ask God's blessing on those men and women also. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, thank you for wisdom that comes only from above, only from you. Please continue to work in our hearts and lives that we may daily embrace wisdom and daily find the strength to persevere even in the midst of trials and be glad doing so. Please so fill your church that we might always sing the praises of wisdom here in our lives and around the world. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with our brother Ryan Hopping during this time. We ask that you bless those who will attend to him, and if it is your will, we ask that you grant him a quick recovery. We also ask that you be with Norma Berg during her hospital stay. We thank you for the many gifts of science and medicine and kind and tender hearts that take care of us when we need them and need you the most. Please be with her, remind her, and assure her that we remember her and that we are praying for her. Please be with Ryan and Norma. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with specifically our graduates here at St. Mark's on Wednesday, and also all of our graduates of different schools who are members here at St. Mark's. We ask that you continue to grow their faith as they continue their education. Help them to walk with you and in your wisdom as they pursue their passions in life and their pursuits in life. Please bless them that they may be blessings to your church, especially in the future. Dear Heavenly Father, in this Memorial Day weekend, we thank you for those who served and those who continue to serve to protect us and to keep us safe. We ask that you would keep them safe and bless them with knowing that as they serve us and their country, that they serve you in their very useful vocation. Help them to serve in a noble way and give wisdom and insight to everybody who makes difficult decisions in positions of leadership, that above all, we may be blessed as your people. These and all of our prayers and concerns we bring to you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Our worship continues on page 11 with our preparation for the sacrament. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lived among us as a human being and revealed his glory as your only Son, full of grace and truth. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
worship continues on page 15 with the Song of Simeon. Please stand. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift, you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Gives you a great measure of wisdom and perseverance as you live for your God this week. Special welcome to our worship guests this morning. It's nice to see you and to have you in God's house and to share the good news of Jesus with you. I would enjoy meeting you and chatting with you a little bit after worship if that works. If not, sometime during the week, I'd enjoy the chance to share more about St. Mark's with you. I have a few announcements to share with you. The first one has to do with Mr. Walker. He and Mrs. Walker retired, and after their retirement, Mr. Walker received a divine call to serve part-time in retirement. So here's a little information about that. God continues to send blessings to Mr. and Mrs. Walker. The most recent blessing was a divine call for Mr. Walker to serve as principal at Concord Lutheran School in Temecula, California. He has decided to accept the call, which will be for 1 year, limited to a half-time position. This position will fit well into their plans to retire near their family and still be involved in the work of God's kingdom. Concord is a two-room school of about 30 children. The Walkers' daughter, Stacy, is a teacher there, and their granddaughter, Karen, is a student at Concord Lutheran Academy. So, good things for Mr. and Mrs. Walker. Please remember them in your prayers. And number two, the Walkers have retired. New teachers are coming in. They've been out. Mrs. Bengel has been out here and house hunting, so things are really moving forward for them. In preparation to receive them and to welcome them, we're going to have a gift card shower for them. We will have more information in the announcements next week. And so if you want to go ahead and do that, Home Depot, Walmart, Safeway, keep in mind somebody who's moving across country and what they might need to get settled in, that sort of thing. So we'll have more formal, official announcements. Just keep that on your radar. Also, number three, it is not super exciting, but we have a special gifts list that has been published. We need to shore up our parking lot. We need to reseal that to prevent further any damage to that. We need to address this side, the exterior of our church building. Some of the wood is rotting and warping. So maybe take a peek at that and see if that's a project you would like to help out with. We can get that not only looking nice, but also shore that up too so that we can prevent further damage. Again, not very exciting projects, but a good way to worship God as we are good stewards of the facilities that we have. Also, for the Bible study hour next Sunday, Gunnar Lederman, who graduated from Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, he and his wife Marinda will be out here. They will have a little bit of a meet and greet and do a presentation for us over in the gym. And then there will be a Q&A time. If you've ever wanted to ask a seminary graduate anything, this is your chance to do that. So they will share some of their experience with you and also let you know a little bit more about where they will go. So next Sunday during the Bible study hour, Gunnar Lederman will be presenting for us. And finally, very important stuff going on next Sunday. We have our biannual voters meeting. Immediately after the second service, we'll have a meal over in the gym, enjoy each other's company, relax for a little bit, and then at about 1 o'clock, we'll get down to business. So a lot of important business to discuss next Sunday, voters meeting. Please do change your agendas if you need to make it to that meeting. I would really appreciate that, and your presence and your input and your opinions matter as we look at especially the budget for the upcoming fiscal year. Those are my announcements. I don't see any additional. Please feel free to visit with one another, and then I'll greet you one more time out in the lobby.